Well, we feel like the Lord's been giving us a few thoughts for us this morning, and we pray that He will meet with us here. I was thinking, if you put a title on this, I would say the blessing, strength, and foundation of unity. Last week we talked some about, I'll start with Ecclesiastes 4 and 9. We used that scripture as one of them among many last week. But I want us to think a little bit along some other lines this morning. But last week we talked about, says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, last week we studied a little bit about the blessing of being interwoven as this threefold cord. You know, at Brother Billy and Sister Julie's wedding, they had three cords. And I really liked that illustration where one stood for her, one for Brother Billy, and one for the Lord. And they wove those together. And, you know, I'm amazed at the strength that weaving together brings. It multiplies the strength. It doesn't double or triple or quadruple or even five times. It multiplies the strength when it is woven together. I think about fabric and how we talked about some of these things. I'm just recapping this so we can go from there. But I was thinking about fabric and how that one strand is really not all that strong. But when you weave it all together and it's interwoven, it becomes very strong. And the pressure that one little piece is experiencing, all of them experience. It pulls on the whole. And so this morning, the Lord has given that wonderful blessing to us. You know, wherever or however in life we find ourselves, whether we find ourselves in the middle of great blessing, whether we find ourselves in turmoil and trouble, or whether we find ourselves experiencing heartache, that fabric is there for us. And folks, we have to interweave in that fabric. We have to allow that to happen. We have to make sure that happens. And the Lord does that. There's a work that only God can do, and there's a work that we can do to be interwoven with one another. It brings strength. You know, at the wedding, that threefold cord was interwoven on purpose. It was twisted around each strand was. And I will tell you, I would guess that the strength of that three was far greater than the strength of any one. And so this morning, when we let the Lord weave in there with us, and we allow ourselves to be woven into the fabric as we should, not as we want, but as God puts, as the Lord works, as He works in our life, weaving us into His fabric and into His work. And so this morning, I want us to think about some other thoughts. The basis of unity, the value of it is so great, and the strength of it, I will tell you, I can't tell you how much blessing I feel knowing that there are those here that are helping bear the burdens. I would hate to think of trying to bear burdens alone. It is a great blessing this morning. But you know, there is a great value in that, and God wants to give that to us. And there is a part that only God can do. And so this morning, what is unity? Unity is when we are able to be put in that fabric like God wants us to. It's where It's a place where we want to look at some scriptures, I believe, that define it for us. But John, the 17th chapter and the 20th verse, tells us a little about the heart of Christ and the heart of God. Just before Jesus was crucified, and we find him praying for us, praying for his disciples, not only the ones that were there, but those that would hear on down the line. It says, "Neither pray I for these alone," verse 20, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one." Now, do you think Jesus really meant this? That he was praying for his followers to all be one, it says. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest to me, I have given them, that there may be one, even as we are one." The Lord has given anointing so this can happen. And I believe we see a key there in the 20th verse where it says that that they also may be one in us. You know, I in them and thou in me. To me, I believe that's a key. The Lord in us and us in him. And us together in him, and he in us. And that's where true unity really comes from. We can agree to walk along together with more than one sometimes, and there be no unity at all. But true unity comes from the Lord's working in our heart and life, and what he does in our heart and life. And that's what begins to build a unity that we can be woven together in the things of God and in the work of God. And we can begin to feel that blessing that the Father wants to give us and that Jesus prayed for. And so when he prayed here and he said, "As that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." And then he talks about the glory that they had. He said, "I have given them." The Lord has given his anointing presence to us that these things can happen. "I in them and thou in me." And that's the way it works this morning. Now, I just want us to think about the workings of the Lord in our lives and in the idea of unity. And what I believe the Lord has in mind this morning. I in them and thou in me. You know, not every person that names the name of Christ can be united. Not every person in our world today that names the name of Christ departs from sin. And we could never weave together with that because God is not in that. He's not in those things. We depart from those things. We live a life that's pleasing to God by the help of the Lord. And that makes us able to be woven together. That's what sets the foundation for unity to really happen. And so I want to talk a little bit this morning about the different kinds of unity and how that sometimes we say, well, who can we have unity with? Well, I believe that the Scripture makes it very plain that there is a unity of the Spirit and there is a unity of the faith. And we want to read those Scriptures. But finishing 23, it says, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." And that's what the Lord prayed for, that the world would see something as God loved Christ. He said, "That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." The world needs to see that God is real and that he loves people. He loves everybody, but he loves his people. He has a special love, I believe, for those whose heart responds to him. The Lord has a special place, and he wants the world to be able to see it. You know, I think about the old chapel before we moved. I love the saying that was over the door or on the side of the chapel anyway. And it said, where salvation makes you a member. If I remember right, that's the way it said it. And, you know, I believe that that is the criteria for unity. Salvation makes us a member of God's body. And so that is a starting place. That is not the ending place. When someone gets saved, it is a wonderful thing. They're just as saved as someone that's been saved for 50 years. And they're just as much a brother or sister. If the blood of Jesus has washed our sins away and cleansed our hearts, then we are just as much a brother or a sister as anyone. But that's not the end of the work. That's not the end of what God wants to do. He has a beautiful picture in mind. He has a great fabric in mind. He has a great work that He wants to do, and He wants to make us fitted right in that work. He wants our color to match where He wants color. And He wants our, and I'm not talking about our physical color, but He wants our the way we are, the person that we are. He wants to work with that until He can fit that safely and beautifully into a fabric that He wants to use. And so this morning, we begin by getting saved. And salvation makes us a member, does it not? But I want to look over in 1 John 1 and 7. And it says here, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, these scriptures here have meaning to them. It says, if we walk in the light. You know, once we get saved, there is a walk that God expects and wants us to walk in. And that is in His light, in the things He reveals to our hearts, in the pulls and the tugs at our heart. And He says, I want you to come closer. And He deals personally with us about things that He doesn't deal with someone else even sometimes. In our personal life, one young rich man came to the Lord and He told him, you sell everything you've got and come and follow Me. Well, He didn't tell everybody that, but He told this man that. And you know, as the Lord works with us and as we walk in all the light of truth that He brings our way, He is going to begin to deal with us about scriptures that we never knew of before. And the Lord is going to be able, and then that begins to make us able to be fitted into the fabric of God's plan and into what He is trying to do and in what He's trying to work with. And so, but I want to look back at verse 6 just before it, the one before it, says, if we say that we have fellowship Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, some people use the end of this chapter to believe that everybody, if we say that we don't sin all the time, that we're liars. But you know, it makes it plain that we depart from it. If we say we have no sin, we can't be saved. But if we continue on in sin, how can we stay saved? The Lord wants to cleanse us from all sin. He wants to put those things in our past. He wants to keep us. And so if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We're not able to walk with the Lord and walk in darkness at the same time. We cannot do that. I know that if someone slips, that we need to repent and God will forgive and turn from those things. God forgives those things. But we don't continue to walk in darkness and in the light at the same time. It does not mix at all. And so our fellowship with one another is that we not only have turned away and been saved, but that we begin to walk in the light and we begin to follow the Lord, and our desires are toward Him. They change. Our desires change. Our wishes change. The things that we set our heart on changes. The things that we had in our life changes. We begin to throw things out as God begins to shed light on it. We don't even know what things are wicked when we start many times. We think we do. We just have an idea of some basic principles. And yet God wants to work on us and bring us to a place where when He gets done, you look at the fabric of what He has done, and it's a beautiful thing. And I believe God wants to do that. Christ prayed for that. We read where He prayed for that this morning. And so I want to go on now and look at Ephesians 4 and read a number of verses there. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, starting at verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, Paul was in jail when he wrote this, wasn't he? Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness. Now, we walk worthy of the vocation where we're called by the grace of God, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, you know, do we really have to endeavor to keep something that God gives us? Do we really have to do this? Is it something we have to work at? You know, we see where Paul wrote to these congregations. We see what he wrote to the Corinthians. And you know, there was things all out of place there. Brethren, some of them were good brethren. Some of them, and Paul had to kind of work on some of those things, didn't he? And so, but he said in the midst of all these things, you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit of God in the bond of peace. Endeavor to be humble with one another. Endeavor to give each other the benefit of the doubt. Endeavor to allow the Lord to work with our brother and our sister. You know, it's easy for us to get in our mind, this is where the Lord's brought me. This is where it's got to be. Folks, it's a long road sometimes. It's a little ways from beginning until the Lord is able to do all that He wants to do. And so we work with one another, don't we? We help each other up. Somebody falls. Somebody keeps falling. What do? You keep helping them back up, don't you? You keep encouraging them. You can. The Lord can help you. The Lord can bless you. The Lord has a place for you. And then you see that spark and you see the Lord start working with their affections. And they start listening and they start giving themselves to the Lord. You know, God wants to do that. It don't have to be that someone falls. But if they do, I'm saying, let's endeavor to work with one another. Let's endeavor to love one another with a pure heart fervently. That God can do what He has in mind in the whole picture. And we read that last week, how that He has some things in mind. Maybe we'll read one of those verses again. But we look on down here, it says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Now, does He really mean this? There's one body? What does He mean there's one body? There is hundreds of religions. I will tell you, God has a people that are truly saved. He has a people that are truly called out from sectarian divisions and those things. And that's what we believe. We believe the Bible strongly teaches that He doesn't want us to be all caught up in sectarian ideas and fellowshipping things that God don't fellowship. And so He says here, there is one body. Now that doesn't mean that that body is right here in this town. That body is universal. It's all over the world. And everybody that names the name of Christ and departs from iniquity and begins to let God work on them is a part of God's body. And so the Lord, and some of those people don't even know they're in a place when they first begin that isn't right. They don't realize yet. And so we see people all mixed in sometimes. You know, they're a part of God's body too. They're saved and we fellowship them and we pray for them. But you know, the Lord really, what He has in mind is He has one body in mind. He has a called out place that his followers everywhere depart from these little places of just, well, this is where our headquarters is, and this is who we are, and this is our creed. You know what, folks? This is the creed right here. This word of God is the creed. And we have no headquarters here, do we? And so we see that the Lord has a big picture in mind. He wants his people to be pure. And many times when they're mixed up in places that don't even teach you can live pure, that's a very unhealthy atmosphere. It's not a place where God can weave together because there's no fellowship of the Spirit many times. Okay, so I want to work through these scriptures here. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, is there really one Lord? I mean, what about the folks that believe that Islam, that what about the people that believe in all of these different religions, of the Eastern religions and things? They all believe in a God too, don't they? But the Bible says there's one Lord. There's one Lord. There's one Jehovah God, and He is God. And we believe that, don't we? And so it says one God and one Lord and one faith. Could it be that there's only one truth in this Bible? Could it be that the Lord meant it one way and He didn't mean it 10 ways? I believe there is. I believe He meant just what He said. But what He wants is, He wants our hearts to follow after Him until He fills this body with His Spirit. And until He allow and until He can begin to teach us His ways. There is one faith, the Bible says. One belief. That's what we're talking about here this morning. There is one faith and one baptism. And there's not 10 baptisms. And I think Paul said one place he was glad he didn't baptize any of them. And then he remembered he did baptize a few. There's just one baptism, and that's in the Lord, isn't it? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You know, this morning, I know not everybody understands all the things that God has revealed. There's different levels of light sometimes. People that are saved that don't know. But you know, I believe God just meant it one way. I believe when He said it, that's what He meant. And He wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to understand. And then He wants us to be able to weave into His quilt, into His fabric, like He wants to this morning. Okay, let's drop on down now to verse 12. And it says, verse 11 says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, why did He give all these gifts? Why does the Lord call? Because God calls. The Lord puts His hand on people and He says, "Come and follow Me." And it's a very real call. And then the Lord begins to give His word. And He does that. And it says the reason He does that is for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Because there's a work that He wants to do by the preaching of the word, until we all begin to understand the fullness of what God meant. And so we have to humble ourselves a long ways. Lord, teach me Your ways. Show me Your paths. I have things I know the Lord still wants to show me. I don't even know what they are yet, some of them. And the Lord wants to show me those things. He wants to lead me. And He wants me to be able to lead others. You know, this morning, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That is the work of God's church. That is the work of the people of God, is to bring people to an understanding of God Himself, of the things He said and meant. And that comes by revelation from the Lord. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, why is this so important? Because he says it right here. Because he doesn't want us to anymore be without understanding. He doesn't want us to be like children are. They don't have understanding. And he said that we be no more children spiritually, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But he says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, you know, I want us to notice the 16th verse. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. You know, last week we read the scripture, I believe it's at the end of Ephesians 2 and 19, and it speaks of the building of God. Now here it's not looking at it as a woven together, it's looking at it as a building. And he says here, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. Do you know the Lord has a place for us together? He has a place for us to be fitly framed. If you look at the frame of this building, you'll see studs in those walls. And without them being fitted in their right places, this roof could have no chance of standing. This ceiling that we have rests on that wall. And so they're fitly put in place. And so we see that God has in mind a holy temple, he said. Now, is it a temple made with hands? No. Is it a temple you can look at with gold and ivory? No, it's much more than gold and ivory. It's the golden things of people's lives. God filling their hearts with riches of his grace, with strengths and blessing. And those things, God takes people's lives, begins to work on them, and then he fits them right where he wants them. And they're fitted, fitly framed. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We're not an island, are we? We're not just one that God wants to fill with the Spirit. It says here, he wants to make a habitation of God in whom ye also are builded together for that. And that's all of us together. How the Lord wants to fitly frame us and put us in our places and make his building a beautiful building today. I believe the Lord longs to show the world a picture of perfect love, a picture of perfect compassion, a picture of pure holiness. How God longs to show the world that picture, and how few people there are in the world that is willing to let him do that. We have to allow God to work in our life. We have to allow him to take us from the time we get saved unto the place where he begins to teach us the unity of the faith, of believing the things the Bible teaches, of understanding truths the world scans right over and completely misses. How the Lord wants to have a picture to the world, a living, moving organism of people who do his will. They take care of the needs. They take care of the things. When they come to serve it, the Lord can move on different ones to pray when it's time to pray. I want to encourage us this morning. Lord, I want to be fitly framed into your building. And I want to know where my place is, my little place. I just need, it might be behind the sheetrock, but give me a little place. Let me be fitly framed. When it comes time to pray, Lord, if you want me to pray, I want to pray. Lord, if you want me to testify, I want to add that pizzazz to the service. I want to add that testimony of God's grace. The Lord has a building in mind that He wants to work in and through. It's a beautiful place. It's a habitation or a dwelling place of God through the Spirit this morning. And so, as we go on from verse 16, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." It is impossible for us to be fitted into this building if we continue our life after we get saved, and then we go right back to living as the rest of the Gentile world lives. Their views, their values, their thoughts, all of the things that they do, their wickedness. He tells us here that he testifies in the Lord that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, when our heart is blinded to all of God's will and we take our ways and we live in the darknesses of the world, do you know that that alienates us from this process that we're talking about this morning? And so this morning I just want to challenge us that God has a thing in mind. He is a master architect. You look at this universe and you'll have to say He is a master. You look at this human body, you'll have to say He is a master. Everything does just what He told it to do. That's what He wants us to do. Only we have to say yes. Only we have to say, "Lord, please, let me be fitly fitted, framed into Your building. Let me be put in that place in Your body like You want. And help me to know right where that is." Okay? "Who being past feeling have given themselves over," this is verse 19, "unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man," or the old life of sin. "Concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Oh, how the Lord wants to give us a renewing in our minds. "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Folks, this is God's plan. You know, we read last week, 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about the body of Christ. So He's not only talking about a building, He's trying to give us different examples so we understand. And He tells us here that we are members one of another. As the body has members, and every one of them is necessary, we are members one of another. And we become fitted into that body by the grace of God and by the gift of the Lord and by allowing ourselves to walk with Him and learning to humble ourselves and learning to walk with Him, learning to find His grace instead of our impulsive behaviors, instead of our ways, instead of our thoughts. You know, He said His thoughts were as far above our thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. And so His thoughts are a long ways from ours sometimes. And we have to learn how to humble ourselves. "Lord, I want Your thoughts concerning these things. That's all I want. I want Your thoughts. I want to know what You think. Because my thoughts don't count for much. I'm human." I want to look over in Romans 15 and 1. You know, when people are unified in the Spirit of the Lord, in the work of God, there is a blessing that is so wonderful, it cannot be had any other way. It is more precious than you could not buy it with money. There is something awesome about it. There is something warm about it. There is something strengthening about those things. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You see, the value, when we begin to walk together in unity, we take upon us a mind that we are responsible in part for our brother and sister. We are responsible sometimes. Sometimes the Lord may ask us, where is your brother? I don't know. I haven't checked on him. You know, it's his job to keep safe, folks. The Lord wants us all to be a part in this thing. We are responsible somewhat. And this here was speaking about things that would offend a weak conscience. Not to do those things. Even though Paul, he was talking about eating meats and drinks and things in the Old Testament that the Jews were very conscious of. They were taught never to eat certain meats and different things at certain times especially and all those things. And we need to be aware of that. And Paul was telling them that he wanted us to bear those things for one another. He wants us to care about each other. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Isn't that a wonderful Scripture? Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's a deeper and closer unity of belief, unity of faith, unity of the Spirit, than sometimes we want to allow in our lives. And I want to urge all of us to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to with one mind and one mouth to glorify you. We are different in different ways, I know that. But the Lord wants to work in us some ways that sometimes take something. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. I'm just going to scan over a few scriptures here in 2 Corinthians 13 and 11. It says here, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, I want to challenge us this morning. It takes work to be of one mind. It takes work to be on one page. We are all different, and sometimes we don't see every little thing alike. But I will tell you, God wants us to have one mind and one heart and one soul. He wants us to have that in our life, and that takes something from each one of us. In Philippians 1 and 27, I'll just read these scriptures quickly. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In Philippians 2 and 2 it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Only God can do these things. But folks, if we'll just let the Lord work in our lives, He'll do more than we could ask or think. I really believe that. We can profit from one another so much. And so many times, I have found myself to be wrong too many times. But you know what? That's the blessing of having one another, isn't it? We understand things deeper than we used to. We come in with, I wasn't raised here, although I was raised similar, in a similar situation. But, you know, there was things that I had to realize, that's just not really the way it is. And you know, the Lord wants to work with us. He wants us to be open to Him. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." See how it's also intermingled? It's always, be of one mind, love one another, be compassionate, be pitiful, be courteous to one another. 1 Corinthians 1:10. It says, "Now I beseech you," 1 Corinthians 1:10, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you." You know, we have to kind of work at that, don't we? We're raised different. All of us are. Many of us were. And it takes something. But I believe the Lord wants to do more with us together as a functioning body. And sometimes if we become a lone strand, if we allow ourselves to be a lone strand, not only are we not very strong, but our color is not in the fabric. Our place is not there. Our stud is not in the wall or in the roof or wherever God would fitly have put us. And so we have to allow that. We have to allow the Lord, His workings in our life. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I want to tell you this morning. I'm not preaching this because I have seen something that I'm trying to address. I just feel like the Lord gave me this. So that's why I'm giving it to you. That's the only reason. So, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, I have Cephas, and I have Christ." You know, the Lord, I believe, wants us to put forth a real effort to draw real close to the Lord and not allow this to happen in our lives. Nationally, I want to encourage us to really work together, that the Lord could weave us together. Folks, we're going to need one another in the coming years. We're going to need each other in some battles we're fixing to face. We're going to need each other's prayers. We're going to need each other's support. We're all going to need it. Let's learn to be bound together, heart and soul, in the things of God, in the things that He wants to do. I believe the Lord wants to bring us to places that we haven't been before. Just a couple other places here, I suppose. Psalms 133. I can't talk about this without talking about this scripture. It says here, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, "Behold how good and how pleasant." You ever enjoyed something really pleasant? You know, I woke up the other morning and I just felt good. I just felt good. We had exercised the night before and went for a long walk. And, you know, it was pleasant. It was a pleasant feeling. You know, this morning, there are some pleasant places in our life. And the love of brethren that have our best interest at heart and loving one another, there is hardly a more pleasant thing than to have that. There's hardly a more pleasant thing than to be able to visit together. You know, I enjoy visiting after service so much because it's hearts visiting hearts. It's a bonding that, folks, thank the Lord for each one of you. God, help us to know how to be bound together, to not have a lone thread, but to allow the work of God to put us in places that we find the goodness and the pleasantness that this brings this morning. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment. Now, you know, we can't relate to this totally, but David, to him, he was writing very descriptive language here. And he said, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an awesome scripture this morning? A set of scriptures that the Lord has given us. And the Lord commanded the blessing on that mountain. Somehow I believe the Lord commands a blessing upon us too, as we humble ourselves and allow ourselves to feel the weight of one another, to put aside something that would keep us being that lone strand, and allow ourselves to be woven together, and allow ourselves to be put in that body and in that place, and allow ourselves to be a working, moving, active part of the work of God. Because, as we said a while ago, I believe God's a pretty big God, and He has a lot of big things in mind. The Lord has some things in mind that He wants to paint, beautiful pictures, beautiful fabric work, awesome things God wants to do. He's not any small God. When I see the things He's made, He wants to do things. He wants to love us here. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to feel the love from one another. He wants us to bear other people's burdens, and He wants our burdens to be borne by other folks today. Oh, what a blessing that the Lord commanded. What a blessing He gave us in unity. And how many times we miss it. How many times the Lord gave us a husband or a wife. And how easy it is to miss that blessing. Oh, the Lord wants to, He wants to give us things in so many areas that He wants to make it a real blessing. God put a lot of, I believe He put a lot of design into all of this. Let's take advantage of it. Let's allow God to use our lives and to work with us the way He wants to. And I believe what we'll find out is when He gets done, it'll be pretty good. Y'all pray for me.